Blog Talk Radio. The puck drops for real tomorrow night. The 16 teams, go for it, baby. The Silver Chalice. El Stanley DeCoupe. Unbelievable. Regular full season has finished. It's spring, baby. And everybody's looking forward to June. See who's going to hoist that cup over their heads. Still goes through Chicago, everybody. I don't care what anybody says. And Ken Hitchcock and the boys up in St. Louis. Good luck in the first round, baby. Way to pick that straw. But, man, it looks great. We got 16 best teams in there. And for the rest of the squads that didn't make it this year, a couple of weeks, another eight junior guys on the golf course, and then another four. And then, you'll be back on the bikes there in August after the draft in July and free agency in June and stuff. And then we start this whole thing all over again. But today, two shows, HCW Radio Playoffs. Preview shows going on today. Myself here today, this afternoon with the Red Line. And tonight at 9:30, Shawnee and Tony, Hockey Night in New York, will be on over at hcwradio.com. Today we're on HCW2 for the afternoon program. And they have Steve Mears from the NHL Network tonight, George Richards from the Miami Herald, and Mr. Andy Graziano from SNY. As far as the Red Line this afternoon, three of the best. That's Mr. Mike Carver, night producer at WFAN, as well as the co-host of the Isles Point Blank podcast on SNY with Brian Compton, deputy editor of NHL.com. Mike will be joining me at 1:10 this afternoon. Then coming up after that, Mikey Spinner, ladies and gentlemen. We'll talk some Strangers and Pens with Mikey, who writes for the Rangers here at HockeyThisWeek.com. And then finally, last but not least, my good friend, Mr. Dennis Bernstein, will go all the way out to the left coast as the Game of Thrones Western Conference Slay Fest begins tomorrow night. Are you kidding me? They're going to destroy each other out there. Sharks and Kings first round. Ducks and Preds. Give me a break. Dallas Stars, baby. Going to be brutal. Dennis from the fourth period joins us at 1:40 this afternoon. Looking forward to catching up with all these guys right here on the Red Line today. And we'll be back here on Thursday afternoon. I'll be back behind the mic as Pete Weber is going to join us from Radio Voice for the Nashville Predators. The Preds, a team that here and on Yahoo Sports Radio Network, I predicted would win the Stanley Cup. And we'll still see what happens. They got a chance, right? Everybody's got a chance now, right? Puck drop tomorrow and Friday and Saturday night. And then also Mike Heike, who covers the Dallas Stars. For the Dallas News will be here as well. And good chance we might have Phil Bork here on Thursday as well. And next week, looks like we might have Randy Moeller here as well on Cast Characters. As we go through the first round back here, HCW Radio, NHL Playoff Talk Radio is back, and we can't thank all of you guys for tuning in live here and as well as the archives. Make sure you always go to hcw2.com, hcwradio.com, and also on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn, and all that other stuff. So real quick, couple of quick news before we get to Mikey here up at 1:10. I'm going to let these guys do as much of the talking today as possible, but quick note on Ed Snyder's passing. I'm a kid from the 70s and the 80s and the 90s, obviously, and I'm still around today, which is great stuff, at 46. But Ed Snyder, condolences to his family and the entire Flyers organization. I tell you what a run that squad gave them this year to get into the playoffs. They're definitely going to cause some trouble. I don't think they'll go far. I think the Caps will take care of him here. But Ed Snider was an integral part of the NHL, not only getting the Flyers in and arrested a lot of those expansion teams there in the 60s and 70s, but had a great impact on the league, just hockey in Philadelphia and Pennsylvania and stuff. So condolences to the Flyer family and Ed Snider's family. Tip of the hat to Patrick Kane, first American-born player, winning the Art Ross this year for all the points. Great stuff by Patrick Kane, man. And he had a crazy start of the season, and now he's on top of the world here as the Hawks will go for their fourth cup. It's probably going to happen, folks. But great stuff. And Braden Holtby, ties record. I would have played in that last game. Come on, Braden. I tell you one thing, Martin Brodeur would have played in that last game. Go for the record. How hard is it to get back? 47. Oh, come on. But anyway, great season. I know he wants to take it easy for the playoffs and stuff, but man, you get so close. Go for the record. You only go around once. You know how hard it's going to get back to win all those games again? As a young guy, he might get another chance. But anyway, and then Alex Ovechkin, man, gets the 50 goals the other night. Beautiful fashion. 3 goals, hat trick. You know, joins only Gretzky and Mike Bossy for 7 50-goal seasons. Those two guys had 9. So, and, you know, Alex has a good chance of doing that, maybe breaking that. But congratulations to those top 3 guys. Just wanted to get that out of there. Dave Cameron and the Sens, he gets fired. They're cleaning house in Ottawa there. Murray's going to step down as GM. All new changes out there. Man, good guy Don Maloney, unfortunately, getting the axe out in Arizona. Looks like Tippett's going to stay there. But Donnie is out. One of my childhood favorite players growing up on the Rangers, number 12 there. So, Donnie, man, bravo to you, man. He did a great job there out in Phoenix and Glendale. That whole franchise, the ownership, the arena, everything. Take a break, pal, and there will be a job waiting for you, my friend. No doubt about that. So, wish the best to Don Maloney. And also the notes there on Datsyuk moving to Russia after this season makes the announcement. Man, I'm going to miss Pavel in the NHL, one of the best. But I get why he's leaving for his daughter and everything else in Russia. Obviously not confirmed yet, but he's talking about it. It looks like that's going to happen. But wish him the best. But those are like the top 3 big stories there to wrap up the season as the playoffs get started tomorrow night. We got 3 games on the schedule tomorrow night with Detroit taking on Tampa. Detroit backs in 25 years. Good stuff for them in the playoffs. Rangers and Pens go out tomorrow night. Who's starting a goal for both of these teams? Looks like Fleury and Lundqvist are both on the practice rinks today. And then you got the Hawks and the Blues, man. Ken Hitchcock, you know, look, if you beat the Hawks, I mean, and then maybe you go on and win the Cup. I mean, this is the way to do it. And I tell you, if they do beat the Hawks in the first round, he'll get a champagne bottle sent from everybody else left. For doing that, but man, that's a tough matchup. The Hawks are just unbelievable. Then Thursday night, you got Philadelphia going against the Caps. The Isles make their debut against the Florida Panthers. Both of these teams, one of them's going to get to the second round for the first time in over 20, 25 years. Great stuff there. And then Wild and Stars go at it. And again, the Stars are just something else. They've been a great story this year, Lindy Ruff. And then on Friday, the Preds and the Dougs hit it off. So good stuff. But we're going to talk about all this stuff today. We're going to take a quick break now. Coming up on the other side, we got Mike Carver, and we will talk about the Isles and the Cats this game. Who's left for the Isles? Who's going to play the goaltend and everything else? You look at Luongo there in the back and then Yager up front and all those young, talented kids. Brian Campbell in the back there, too. It should be some series. They'll be pumped up down in South Florida. Rangers and Pens. Man, the Pens have just been unbelievable these last couple of weeks, last couple of months, I should say, under Coach Sullivan. I think they're hot. I just don't know if the Rangers can beat these guys. Sid's in another planet right now, even playing without Malkin. And then again, we're going to go out west and talk to Dennis Bernstein, and we're going to just touch into as many of the series as we can out there. The Western Conference are going to be brutal. But you're listening to The Red Line right here on the Hockey This Week Radio Network. We'll be right back with Mike Carver. Don't go anywhere.
If you are interested in expanding your business on an exciting new platform to a great audience of potential new customers or clients, then advertise right here on the Hockey This Week Radio Network. Reach thousands of listeners every week across our entire radio, social, and online network. Competitive, affordable sponsorships are always available. Contact sales at hockeyactive.com. That's sales at hockeyactive.com. Get your business in front of the coolest sports fans in the world.
Introducing Integral Hockey, the world's best hockey stick repair system featuring patent-pending state-of-the-art technology. Integral Hockey has made it possible to repair today's carbon fiber hockey sticks and bring them back to life without compromising performance for a fraction of the cost of a new stick. Integral Hockey is an amazing service for parents who find themselves buying their kids new sticks each season and adult recreation players who break their favorite stick. All Integral Hockey repairs come with a lifetime warranty. Visit IntegralHockeyTHS.com.
In need of solid online solutions for your business or service? Then contact Island Web Media today for all your hosting, branding, web design, social, and multimedia needs. With over 15 years of experience in the industry and on top of all the latest trends and platforms, you will get the answers that you need. Island Web Media is an American company based in Long Island, New York. Go to islandwebmedia.com today. That's islandwebmedia.com.
Welcome back to the Red Line, everybody, right here, HCW2.com today. Make sure you always check out HCWRadio.com for all the shows. And tonight, Hockey Night in New York is on. Joining us right now, no stranger to HCW, the one and only Mr. Mike Carver. Mike, good afternoon to you, buddy. How's everything?
Paulie, what is going on, pal? Playoffs ready to go. Everybody's excited. Let's do it.
Hey, man, I got to ask you real quick. You know, you think back now, you know, it's here we are, April. You know, when you think back about, you know, you've been doing so much radio this year, obviously over at SNY with Brian and stuff. I mean, hard to believe it's here. Does the season seem long to you, or is it like, wow, it just feels right where we are in terms of kicking things off tomorrow night?
No, I think it moves fast. I think that if you're a hockey fan and you're somebody who watches the game night in, night out, I don't think you could ever say that the season feels like it goes on for so long. I think the outsiders, the people that kind of jump in when the playoffs start and maybe they're not around all year watching night in, night out, they might be the ones to comment, hey, you know, the season is so long because they're just waiting for the playoffs to get here. But for guys like me and you and the people listening, Paulie, as we know, you're a hockey fan. You're locked in every night. You're watching all the games. You could do this all year round, right?
Yeah, absolutely. It's Christmas time for hockey fans. There's no doubt about it. So, Mike, real quick, before we just look at the Cats and the Islanders here real quick, your take here on the last couple of weeks, the Islanders play, going into this series. We'll talk about what this is going to mean for both organizations, whoever comes out on top of it. But just your feel on the pulse of this team. I know you and Brian had your show last night. Maybe talk about what you guys are talking about and just your own personal feelings about this team's play going into the first round starting on Friday night. Thursday night, sorry.
Well, obviously, Paulie, you know, you got to throw out the two games over the weekend. You know, the Islanders didn't play anybody. I know that there's fans of other teams that are upset of how the Islanders handled those two games, but I would tell them your team would have did the same exact thing because it's not about who you wanted to play. It's about having guys healthy. And the Islanders, one thing coming down the stretch, they were losing guys left and right. And they needed to stay healthy. So for me, Paulie, the regular season really ended last Thursday at Madison Square Garden when they beat the Rangers that night, because that was the last night that the Islanders actually fielded a competitive team on the ice. And unlike last year, and if you remember, Paulie, coming down the stretch last year, Islanders really kind of stumbled into the playoffs. A terrible loss in Philadelphia where Halak let up a brutal goal in the closing seconds. The final regular season game at home against Columbus where they blew a lead and ended up losing, and that lost them home ice advantage in the Capitals series, which would have been very important. And then this year, a little different story, aside from this weekend, like I said, if you consider from ending on Thursday, those last 7-8 games coming in, Islanders played very well. Great win at the Garden. That game in Washington on Tuesday night with Chris Gibson in goal, coming back from down 2 goals with about 12 minutes left in the third period. These are games, Paulie, that I think that the team last year would have lost. And it's kind of growing a year later. You're seeing guys get, you know, a little bit more experience. And I think you have to be pleased with how they're going in to the playoffs this year as opposed to last year. I think they finished a lot stronger coming in down the stretch.
And Mikey, where do you sit here in terms of what's the strongest point of this team right now? Obviously, your top point getters this year, Nielsen there and Oposo and Tavares, and Letty put up a good spot there with 40 in the back end. You know, the goaltending was just kind of, let's call it what it is, a mess. You know, Greiss came in there, obviously, when they needed him. Talk about the strong points of this team going up against Florida here in this first round.
Well, it looks, Paulie, like they're going to get healthy for what could be the strong point of their team. And Travis Hamonic skated with the team this morning. It looked like the defense was actually going to be kind of a complete picture, and it was such a big loss for them not having Hamonic last year in that Capitals series. Looks like Hamonic is going to be back here for this series, and if he is, yeah, Letty and Boychuk, Hamonic and DeHaan, Hickey and Ryan Pollock, who would be, I would have to assume, either him or Pellick would be that sixth guy, and that's pretty strong. And I think the reason why people maybe don't consider the Islanders' defense as a strength is because they've had so many guys in and out this year. There was a stretch where Boychuk was out. There's been this stretch here where Hamonic's been out. DeHaan missed a few games. Hickey early in the season missed a few games. So for like what seems like the first time all year, and at the right time, Islanders are going to have really their whole unit. You know, you don't have to possibly play a Zydlitzky or a God forbid Brian Strait in a playoff game. It looks like it looks like the Islanders are going to be a complete unit, and for me, Paulie, that is one of their strengths, along with their penalty kill, which is so important when you get into the playoffs. If you could, you know, special teams is a killer, and when we get into breaking down the series, that's one of my main points for it. But penalty, Islanders' penalty kill has been strong, and it seems like maybe for the first time all year, a completely healthy defensive unit could be a big key for them here.
Yeah, and they're going to need that help, obviously. You talk about some of the big guys on the other side for the Cats, and, you know, Yags and Jokin in there, and Smith and Huberdeau and the rest of these guys. You know, looking pretty good. Some experience there in the back end, too. And obviously, Luongo and Montoya, not a bad acting net there for the Cats in terms of how they're going here the rest of the way. How do you think Cap approaches this against this team in terms of what the Islanders can throw at them? And is this a, you know, maybe first game here, first period out, they kind of pace them, or should they go at them right away?
Well, that gets to another thing, and it just made me think about, Paulie, when you talk about strengths of the team. One strength that I have to also mention, and it kind of ties into what you're just saying and how you could come out and approach the game, is the Islanders are one of these teams that actually can roll four lines at you for the entire game. And if Martin, Cizikis, Clutterbuck, you know, Clutterbuck and Martin a little banged up here down the stretch as well, looks like they'll be okay to go. When you got a fourth line like that we've seen, and you know it, I mean, Kyle Clutterbuck has scored big goals at the end of some of these games in the third period, being on the ice with less than 2 minutes to go. Jack has the confidence that he could put any of his lines out at any time in the game. And during the playoffs, where you sometimes see, you know, these multiple overtime games, et cetera, to be able to keep guys forwards fresh and rolling four lines is huge, because we know, Paulie, many teams, they get into the playoffs and that fourth line never touches the ice. And they're kind of just rolling nine forwards and guys get tired. Islanders have an advantage there where they can put all 12 forwards on the ice at any time. Jack's not afraid to do it. Jack has confidence in doing it, and that's a big thing. Thursday's going to be tricky, Paulie, because you got this weird situation where we got a back-to-back to start the series. You know, games one and two, Thursday and Friday down in Florida. Me and B-Comp were kind of talking about this yesterday on the Islander Point Blank podcast. You know, I think that maybe it's a good thing that they're playing again the next night. You don't know what you're going to get Thursday night. I personally, I don't see that much of a home ice advantage down there. People have told me otherwise, so I guess we're going to see what we get. But I'm sure they're going to be fired up in the place. And if Florida does maybe jump out on the Islanders early, I think it's good for the Islanders maybe to get right back out there the next night. And if they did lose a game one, to get right back on the ice and try to avenge that 24 hours later.
Yeah, you know, speaking of that schedule, a lot of it has to do, obviously, with the Barclays and that schedule going on. Let's touch on that real quick. This will be the first playoff series for the New York Islanders, a franchise not playing in the barn. Your thoughts on how things developed here at Barclays real quick, and how do you think that's going to affect the team and the fan base? You think it's just going to be okay? They got to do what they got to do on the ice, but what's your thoughts as a longtime Islander fan here and them playing playoff home games in Brooklyn at the Barclays?
Yeah, it's going to be very interesting, and I'm excited to see what it's going to be like on Sunday night for Game 3. As far as the stuff with the booking of the arena, listen, I mean, it is kind of silly they got boxing there on Saturday, Monday, and Tuesday. I guess they didn't have a lot of faith in the Islanders and or the Nets making the playoffs this year. I don't, you know, they stacked the arena. And listen, I understand the building's got to make money. We know that. It's a business. But, you know, having 3 out of 4 nights having boxing at the arena when you know that the playoffs could be starting for both teams just doesn't seem very smart, but it is what it is. As far as what I'm expecting Sunday night, here's what I know, Paulie. You don't have a team coming in like the Rangers, like the Penguins, like the Flyers, teams that, you know, the Montreal Canadiens, teams that bring fans into visiting arenas. So you're going to get a real feel of what that building can sound like for an Islander playoff game. You're not going to have any Florida Panther fans in the building. We know that. I mean, are there any outside of Sunrise, Florida? Nobody has any idea. But, I mean, look at it two years ago when they played the Penguins. Yes, it was loud. It was obviously a pro-Islander crowd. But there was plenty of, you know, Penguins, Sidney Crosby jerseys here, there, around. You know, you certainly know that if they would have played the Rangers, it would have been probably 60-40 or 55-45 in terms of the fan base. And there's no excuses, Paulie. People need to show up Sunday night, fill every seat. Doesn't matter about obstructed views. Who cares? Now is the time. Put up or shut up. Go support the boys. They've had a great year. No excuses about another team bringing their fans in the building. That should be a completely 100% eye on the crowd, and I'm interested to see how loud it's going to get.
Great point there, Mike. No doubt about it. And they do. They have no excuses. This is it. Get fired up, and the team needs them because it's going to be a tough go in this series. So, Mike, I got to ask real quick, what's your take in terms of how this series is going to play out, and if you want, throw out a prediction.
I think that this was the best possible chance for the Islanders to break what has been a, as we all know, 23-year drought of advancing in the playoffs. And that's why, listen, I thought all along in the Eastern Conference, Paulie, that all 8 teams that are going to get in all have a chance to go to the Stanley Cup Finals, and I could just as easily see all 8 teams losing in the first round. That's how wide open I think that the Eastern Conference really is. I think the Islanders are going to win this series. I think they're going to do it in 6 games. I think that if they get home up 3-2, going back to the Barclays, I think they'll finish it. But I also would have plenty of confidence in it if they had to go to that really tough building down there in South Florida for a Game 7. I'd have plenty of confidence if the Islanders did have to go there. I think that they will find a way to get it done. The keys for me, number one, if they get anything solid out of Thomas Greiss, I think that they'll win the series. If Greiss plays, you know, to what we've seen Greiss play, they'll be okay. Number two, the Islanders special teams are going to dominate the Florida Panthers special teams. Penalty kill was 4th in the league this year. They did an outstanding job. If they can get even a little bit from their power play, they're going to do it because the Panthers special teams units, both in the bottom third of the league this year, Paulie, not very good. And even with that power play, you know, you think Yager and Barkov and Huberdeau and all these guys, in the bottom third, their penalty kill is god-awful. So the Islanders got to put power play goals in. And the one little thing that's also edging for me, the Islander young guys, Paulie, have had the taste. They've lost to Pittsburgh. They've lost to Washington. So all these young guys on the Islanders, they know what it's like, whereas the young guys on the Panthers, the Huberdeaus, the Barkovs, the Gabransons, all these guys, this is their first taste. They haven't gotten it yet. So I think that that's also something to factor in as well. I like the Isles in 6.
I like it too, man. It should be a good series. Like I said, both teams have a lot to play for here. Maybe Luongo's the difference at the end, but we'll see what happens. Hey, Mike, I know we're going to have you back here on ACW, but let everybody know where they can find you and Brian on the SNY podcast for Isles Point Blank.
Absolutely. You can get it on SNY.TV. It's on iTunes. It's on Stitcher. It's on all those things. Just put in Islanders Point Blank Podcast. You'll find it. And we got, obviously, the preview of the series that we did yesterday there. And make sure everybody knows, Paul, because we've talked about this 1,000 times, just to get off the aisles for a second. If you don't pick the Kings and the Blackhawks in the West Finals, you're doing something wrong. Remember that. All those teams are frauds, Paulie. Remember, I know you're going to be talking to Dennis later, and you do some West Coast with him, but believe me, Kings-Blackhawks, folks, don't do anything less in the West.
Yeah, me and you have always been on the same page as that. Mikey, great catching up with you. You know we're going to do more of this as the series go on. Thanks so much, brother. Have a great afternoon. Enjoy the games.
You got it, pal.
Mike Carver, ladies and gentlemen. Follow him at Mike Carver, WFAN. And make sure you catch him on the SNY Isles Point Blank Podcast every week. Great stuff there. And Mike will be back here at HCW, no doubt. All right, we'll run a little over. Quick break. Coming back, we'll talk Rangers and Penguins. Mr. Mike Spinner right here on the Red Line on the Hockey This Week Radio Network.
Thank you for tuning in to the Hockey This Week Radio Network. Always live and archived at htwradio.com. And podcast on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, and TuneIn Radio applications. For featured interview clips, visit soundcloud.com/Hockey This Week. Follow us on Twitter at htwradio and at Hockey This Week. Join the HTW community at facebook.com/Hockey This Week. And finally, if reading is your thing, go to htwmag.com for featured Hockey This Week columns. The Hockey This Week Radio Network, the game is always on.
Introducing Integral Hockey, the world's best hockey stick repair system featuring patent-pending state-of-the-art technology. Integral Hockey has made it possible to repair today's carbon fiber hockey sticks and bring them back to life without compromising performance for a fraction of the cost of a new stick. Integral Hockey is an amazing service for parents who find themselves buying their kids new sticks each season and adult recreation players who break their favorite stick. All Integral Hockey repairs come with a lifetime warranty. Visit IntegralHockeyTHS.com.
The Hockey This Week Multimedia Network is powered by Hockey Active LLC in Long Island, New York. Hockey Active is always looking for good people to join us as we expand our audience reach and network services. If you have digital, video, social media, and sales skills, go to HockeyActive.com today. Call or send us an email and see how you can get involved with an exciting new company covering the coolest game on earth. Once again, that's HockeyActive.com.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Red Line right here on the Hockey This Week Radio Network. Afternoon show here today on HGW2. Tonight, tune in at hgwradio.com for the Hockey Night in New York show with Shawnee and Tony. And joining us right now, a regular on the Hockey Night in New York show and columnist covering the Rangers at HGW Mag, Mr. Mike Spinner. Michael, welcome aboard, buddy. Happy Christmas Eve for NHL hockey fans.
Thanks. Great to be here. Excited for the playoffs. It's the spring. It's playoff time. It doesn't get any better.
It doesn't, man. It's, I was just talking to Mike before. I want to ask you, too, man. I mean, this has been kind of a different season for the Rangers here. They don't win the President's Trophy, but, man, another 100-point season here. It's been up and down. Me and you talked a little bit during the course of the season. But what's your take, your feel? Is it a quick season, a long season? Give us your thoughts here before we get into the series.
I'll tell you, I thought it was a long and drawn out and kind of painful season. I think that they were the most unsteady 100-point earning team possibly in the history of the league. But, you know, there's two trains of thought going into the playoffs. One is this is not as good of a team as they've had. And two is they kind of knew they need to kind of hold things back till the postseason. So they've been toying with our emotions for months now, and now they're ready to go. I certainly hope it's the latter, but we'll find out soon enough.
Yeah, no doubt about it. You know, this team has a ton of playoff experience here in the last few years. And I want to know, with the Pittsburgh Penguins here, who they played, obviously, in the last couple of seasons here in the playoffs. Different Penguins team rolling here right now as they finished out the season and came back really well under a new coach. They had a coaching change, Sullivan. Malkin's been out. But lights out, looking good. Sid's playing better than ever. But back to the Rangers here, the experience that this team has had going deep, the pressure on Lundqvist, if you want to keep talking about that. What's the key point here that you're looking at first out of the gate, just in terms of who do you think needs to just step up right away for this team? You go up and down the lineup, but what's the guy that's standing out for you right now that's got to make a difference here, first shift, first period?
It's got to be Rick Nash. I think with all the talk about his playoff performance since joining the Rangers, where he's been virtually invisible come postseason, I think everyone's got to say Henrik Lundqvist first, and Hank's going to be Hank. I don't think there's any doubt that he will be stellar however far the Rangers go. But it takes someone to put the puck in the net. It takes someone to be a physical presence on the ice. It takes someone to kind of be the man out there. And the Rangers got Rick Nash for this reason. Thus far in the postseason, he has not performed. The good news, if you're Rick Nash right now, is he had an injury plague, not so strong, disappointing regular season. So maybe he's ready to kind of reverse course this year, where the regular season kind of went in like a lamb and he'll go out like a lion in the postseason, because that's what the Rangers need.
And your take on Eric Staal coming in here, talk about that trade a little bit. We didn't get a chance to talk about it, but what were your thoughts about him coming in and these last couple of weeks with both him and Nash in the lineup, in terms of what you saw, whether it's special teams, anything that you kind of saw? I know it's a short time for these guys to, both of them, Eric just joining the team and then Nash getting back from the injuries. But any positive signs that you saw between these two guys, getting their legs now before things start up here against Pittsburgh?
Well, I think the positive sign is it really depends on how they're utilized. Eric Staal did not quite contribute the way I think people thought he would. He did score some big goals for them, but he wasn't a point-a-game kind of guy that I think there were a lot of people out there expecting, even though he hadn't been that way recently in Carolina. But he is a presence out there. He's a big body. He's great down the middle. Gives his team – he's not a penalty killer, so he's not helping him there, but certainly on the power play, he's effective. So all good things. And Rick Nash did a lot of what you expect from Rick Nash, where he didn't score much once he came back. But his special teams work was very good. And Rick Nash is a guy, and we've heard about this since the playoffs last year. Boy, he does all the little things right. He does everything right but score at times, and that's what we're talking about again. And I think looking ahead to playoffs, I'm a firm believer you need two things to win the Stanley Cup: a great goaltender, which the Rangers have, and the ability to roll four lines consistently, which the Rangers did not have this year. But they also lost Nash for a lot. They didn't have Staal for most of the year. I look at Rick Nash and Eric Staal potentially a tandem as being, hey, let's put them on the third line for the playoffs. Now you can try to match up against us. So I don't look at Eric Staal and return Rick Nash as being as much of a factor in terms of the shift action on the ice. I look at their returns being crucial in terms of depth. Where if the Rangers do get by Pittsburgh and now the games get a little more drawn out because everyone's a little more tired, the Rangers will have the ability to roll four lines, four very good lines out there, present massive matchup problems down the road.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Talk about some of the supporting cast. Again, guys like Kreider, guys like, Brizard. Probably want to focus here on the younger guys here too, in terms of Hayes and, some of these younger guys who have, Kreider, getting the experience here and obviously trying to mature here. They get to take a deep breath. They all know how long this road is to get back to the Stanley Cup Finals and how much hard work it's going to be. But, you look at some of the past series that they lost to get knocked out of in their runs in the past. Certain guys didn't step up. Certain guys didn't come up, especially deep into the playoff rounds. What have you seen from these guys that might, make people or Ranger fans feel better about the possibility of how these guys might play in this first round against Pittsburgh and going on through the next rounds if they get there?
Well, unfortunately, not enough, to be honest. I mean, there's right now, if you look at the roster, and unfortunately, look at the roster, you see Ryan McDonough likely won't play in this series, which is a huge gaping hole defensively for Rangers. But if you look at this roster, you can't help but think, man, this team has a chance. In terms of name recognition, solid every position, deep, lots of experience, lots of playoff experience. The issue the Rangers have going in is we've seen nothing since the first 6 weeks of the season that says, hey, they can go on a run right now. But then again, you flip the coin one more time. I don't know if you had a chance to read the Players Tribune article by Keith Yandel today. I read through it, and I want to jump out of my chair, rip off my shirt, put on some skates, and go out there myself. There is a confidence about this team. Derek Brassard has been very open. He considers the Rangers to be a Stanley Cup contender. Yandel wrote his piece for the Players Tribune. It was really, really good. And so in terms of the optic of watching them on the ice since really Thanksgiving time, There's nothing to indicate that they are a favorite in any series in the Eastern Conference playoffs, let alone the Stanley Cup run. But at the same time, you look at this team, you look at the personnel, you look at the people, the personalities, and you have to think to yourself, hey, they have a chance because of who they have. So now it's a matter of putting it together, and obviously we'll find out soon enough if they can, because they have it all season long.
Yeah, and you want to, you know, defensively there, you know, you talk about McDonough and the rest of these guys in terms of, you know, how they're going to step up. I guess, you know, for me, Mike, you know, like I said, I'm going to bounce off the fact that these guys have been there before, a lot of experience. They know what to do here in terms of pacing themselves. But when you look at the way Pittsburgh's played, this is a different Pittsburgh team from the last couple of seasons that they played in the playoffs. And, you know, they're firing all cylinders. It's a different style that Coach Sullivan's put in place for these guys, one that they've been able to thrive off of. You know, obviously the goaltending, we don't know if Fleury's going to be in there or not yet. The same thing with Hank, and they're both on the practice rinks today. But what scares you more than anything about this Pittsburgh team, even without Malkin, as opposed to maybe how the Rangers have played these guys in the past in the playoffs?
I think the biggest thing is their depth. I mean, they have four lines. Yeah, I think rolling four lines is everything in the playoffs. And for me, it's a huge question about the Rangers, whether or not Elaine Vigneault is willing to do so. This Pittsburgh team not only has four good lines, but boy, can they skate. They have speed. They have some pretty good size. They got a nice mix. Remember, they have Carl Hagelin. And Carl Hagelin was so crucial for the Rangers the last couple of years because of his speed, him on the penalty kill, him just opening things up when he had the puck. The Penguins can do that over the course of four lines. So I'm looking at this, you know, if the Rangers can you know, jump out early, win the first game, first two games, and kind of end it at home, that's the only case scenario I see them winning, because I think over the course of six, seven games, this Pittsburgh forwards can skate so well that I just don't see the Rangers' defense, which has been suspect all season long, being able to kind of stand up. Everyone's going to look at Sidney Crosby, and, you know, Malkin being out with it, they still have tons of firepower. But the reality is Sidney Crosby doesn't need to be on the ice to keep the Rangers on their heels because the Penguins are just so deep. If the Penguins get good goaltending, this is going to be over quickly. The one shot the Rangers, I think, have is the big question mark between the pipes. And, you know, the Rangers are the type of team that can score two or three goals a game and still win. That would be the best-case scenario.
Yeah, no, I think full marks on all those points right there. And it's, you know, and Coach Sullivan, too, you know, he knows the Rangers inside and out here a little bit, too, obviously with some experience on these guys, too. It should be interesting, man. My gut feeling is here. I think Pittsburgh's going to have a hell of a series. But we know, Mike, in the past, it's been very hard to count this New York Ranger team out because sometimes they just find a way, whether it's heart and soul play by a guy like, you know, Dominic Moore, Zuccarelli, and you can see maybe a couple of these other guys might step up, and that's what the playoffs are all about here. You're going to need some special performances by guys that aren't necessarily expected to do it. It's going to come down in the trenches, the hard work, the forechecking, and the face-offs. So let me get your take on this. Where do you think things are going to fly out, end up in this series? Do you give us a prediction if you want, and maybe, you know, just your vibe on who comes out on top in this first round?
I have to go with the Penguins, and it's not a shock at this point to the way the Penguins have played. There's kind of a rumor that a certain other New York area team tanked to avoid the Penguins, but I won't go there unless you want me to. But I have to think the Penguins win this thing in six. And I say that disappointingly because, you know, obviously I love the Rangers, and I do think this is kind of Henrik Lundqvist's last stand with Eric Staal probably gone next season. And Keith Yandle, who I think is the Rangers' kind of unofficial MVP this year, if you ask me, I think he'll be gone as well, unfortunately. So I think we're not just looking at the end of a playoff run for the Rangers relatively quickly. I think we're kind of looking at the end of an era. I think it's going to be a downtime for this team for a while. So as much as I want the Rangers to win, I don't see this series even going to seven games. I think Pittsburgh wins in six. I just think the Rangers have not found their game in time for the playoffs and haven't given us any reason to think that they can win the series. But again, looking at the roster, I wouldn't be surprised if they do find a way to win it. I just don't expect that to happen.
The doom and gloom scenario is upon us. And that's tough, Mike, too. Like I said, it's a 100-point team here, a lot of experience, but they've been run through it, and I got to have all the pieces of the puzzles here. And like I said, you know, you look at the other side there too, Mike, real quick, you know, maybe a swan song here for Hank or whatever. Sid, the kid's got to be looking at this as an opportunity for him to really kind of go too. He's been out on the outside the last few years too, so this is going to be a huge series for him and that franchise as well. So the Rangers are going to have to go up against that as well too.
I think so. I think Sidney Crosby, we have not seen him play at this level in a while. I think, you know, that Stanley Cup seems like it was ages ago for the Penguins, doesn't it? You know, he was a kid. He was Sid the Kid back then. And just, you know, the trends in hockey with the salary cap, with free agency, more of a factor than ever before. You don't know when your next run is coming unless you happen to play for the Chicago Blackhawks. Other than that, I don't think there's a franchise in NHL that can say, hey, we're a Stanley Cup contender next year. So I think for Sidney, seeing this as his kind of last hurrah, I think the Penguins are loaded. They've made great moves to build this team. You know, if they get the goaltending, I think, you know, it's going to be a real interesting run in the Eastern Conference Final. So, yeah, he's going to play as desperate as a guy like Henrik Lundqvist. I just feel like he has a more consistent team around him, and that's why I'm thinking the Penguins will win this thing.
Yeah, I kind of have to agree with you there, Mike. Mike, great stuff. We're going to do more of this as the series continue on, but thanks so much for joining me this afternoon. Great to hear from you again. So enjoy the games, the first game tomorrow night, and we'll get back at this probably next week. Okay, buddy?
Thanks. I'll talk to you soon.
All right, Mike Spinner, ladies and gentlemen. Ranger columnist for HockeyThisWeek.com, HCWMag.com. Join us right there. We're going to take another quick break. Coming back on the other side, we're going all the way out west. Dennis Bernstein, the fourth period. Tune in, baby. Love talking to Dennis. We'll be right back right here on the Red Line on Hockey This Week Radio Network.
If you are interested in expanding your business on an exciting new platform to a great audience of potential new customers or clients, then advertise right here on the Hockey This Week Radio Network. Reach thousands of listeners every week across our entire radio, social, and online network. Competitive, affordable sponsorships are always available. Contact sales at hockeyactive.com. That's sales at hockeyactive.com. Get your business in front of the coolest sports fans in the world.
Introducing Integral Hockey, the world's best hockey stick repair system featuring patent-pending state-of-the-art technology. Integral Hockey has made it possible to repair today's carbon fiber hockey sticks and bring them back to life without compromising performance for a fraction of the cost of a new stick. Integral Hockey is an amazing service for parents who find themselves buying their kids new sticks each season and adult recreation players who break their favorite stick. All Integral Hockey repairs come with a lifetime warranty. Visit IntegralHockeyTHS.com.
In need of solid online solutions for your business or service? Then contact Island Web Media today for all your hosting, branding, web design, social, and multimedia needs. With over 15 years of experience in the industry and on top of all the latest trends and platforms, you will get the answers that you need. Island Web Media is an American company based in Long Island, New York. Go to islandwebmedia.com today. That's islandwebmedia.com.
Welcome back. You listen to Red Line right here on the Hockey This Week Radio Network. Live and archive, HCW2 today. Hockey Night in New York is live on HCW Radio this evening. Joining us right now, good friend from out west, Mr. Dennis Bernstein from the fourth period, one of the best hockey productions out there. Dennis, welcome aboard. Good afternoon. How are you?
Always great talking to you, Paulie. I'm awesome here in Los Angeles.
I should say good morning to you out there. Thanks for talking some hockey here with your eggs and your coffee, pal.
Yeah, no problem, bud.
Hey, real quick, man. We got a chance to talk to each other while I was on Yahoo here in the beginning of the season here on HCW. And one thing I got to follow up with you or get back to, when I had you on, we were talking about the Ducks and the struggles of Bruce Boudreau and the team and everything. And I kind of picked on him, beat on. I got to say, man, full marks to him and that team for coming around. And as the Montreal Canadiens know, it ain't how you start, baby. It's how you finish. So your take on those guys turning that season around.
Sometimes the moves you don't make, Paulie, are the best. The fact that Bob Murray resisted firing Bruce in late November when things look the darkest is probably the best move he's made, despite the trades he made at the deadline. The fact that he kept going with him, because he's a player's coach, Bruce. It was just a matter of not scoring down there. And I don't know how you coach players to score better. Guys like Corey Perry and Ryan Getzlaff really didn't produce in the first couple months of the season. But what they did is they hung their hats on playing good defense, and that's how you win in this league. So they kept playing good defense, and eventually they turned it around. They had 10 regulation losses in their last 49 games. So, you know, Bruce deserved a little bit longer of a run with this team. So I'm glad that, you know, Bob Murray wasn't overreactive there with a bad start. And I think that's why they are. This team got comfortable. They really like Bruce. They play well for him. And now they've got a legitimate chance to go to the Cup Final, I think, in my opinion.
Yeah, they look kind of scary. The look in Corey Perry's eyes there. And, look at Freddie Anderson now and Gibson. The experience that they got over the last couple of years, it's a phenomenal tandem. The guys winning the award this year. So, I mean, you might as well look at it. If you're an opposing team, both of them are in net for you each night. But that's
right.
Been a big strength of it. So, you know, sometimes, Dennis, and you know this, it takes teams a losing curve to get back and to earn your stripes and get stronger and get better and become that eventual Stanley Cup champion. And I think now maybe the Anaheim Ducks are probably bigger and better than they were maybe the last year when as well as they played. And Nashville's got their work cut out for him there in this first round.
They absolutely do, Paulie. I mean, each team's going to hit adversity. It's just a matter of when they'll hit a bad stretch. The Ducks was in the early part of the season. Now they have confidence. And they played through a lot of injuries too, Paulie. And they came down the stretch here. They missed David Perron, who's been great for them. They've missed Ricard Raquel. Sammy Vatanen's been out. So despite all that, they were able to pass Los Angeles to win the Pacific Division. And they're going to be tough. I certainly like Anaheim in this first round against the Nashville.
And you know, looking at the Preds here real quick, you know, and that was my my joking prediction here at the beginning of the year. They were going to win this whole thing. And I don't think I'm too off the cuff there. Just because, you know, Pekka Rinne and, you know, the experience of Laviolette there. And, you know, obviously they had the big trade there. And Johansson coming in, it took them a little while. But Lav's in this team, a lot of talent there. There's no doubt about it. I don't think it's going to be an easy run, for the Ducks like they had against Winnipeg last year. And not so much that that was an easy run, but they did come out in the winning on every game. But what's your take here? What do you think Nashville will have to do? Is it really just in goaltending Pecorine, or does Laviolette have some guns up there that could maybe drive Boudreau and this defense a little crazy here?
If you want to put out some bullet points on how Nashville wins this series, I think number one, Ryan Johansson has to be the best center in the series, right? And I think it's a big advantage. If Ricard Raquel is healthy and he goes back in the middle, they've got Getzlaff, Raquel, and Ryan Kessler down the middle. They can't match up pound for pound that is. So how do they do that? Ryan Johansson has to be the best defenseman, the best center in this series. Number two, Pekka-Rinne's saves percentage probably has to be around 940. He's going to have to steal, he's got an opportunity probably to steal one game one here in Anaheim. He's going to have to be on his top of his game. He can't have that slump like he did in the middle of the season or a little past the halfway point for them to win. And I think number three is that their blue line is their strength. And I believe they were the most productive defensive core in the league offensively this year, Paulie. They're going to have to continue that. They're going to have to get offense from the defense to win this game because I just think they don't match up at the forward positions. So they're going to, if they can produce like they have all season, Roman Josi, Shea Weber, Ryan Ellis, they've got to get that offense from their defense. Pekka's got to be on top of his game. And Ryan Johansson, that's just what they traded him for, Paulie. You know, you heard the excuses all, you know, forever in Nashville that they didn't have a number one center. Well, now they have a number one center. I'm not sure he's the number one center that's going to carry a team through a playoff run, but we'll find out here in Series 1.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And I think for all the teams here in the Western Conference, and starting with those two teams, Anaheim and Nashville, you're going to have to find the mean streak. Because let's jump over here to L.A. and the Sharks here, baby. As far as the Western Conference, it's a Game of Thrones of the playoffs for me, man. I mean, every team is just super. Maybe, you know, Minnesota being the weakest there coming at the end there.
Yeah.
But, man, talk about this series. These teams just don't like each other. Pete DeBoer, great to get these guys back into the playoffs here. I think these guys are playing with a lot of confidence. Obviously, goaltending. They've got the talent. And L.A., man, superstars over there, too. This should just be one hell of a train wreck. Your take on this in terms of where does this go? You think it's going to be on the edge, a quick series, or you think this goes a full seven, man?
I think it's seven games for a couple of reasons. The Sharks are better in goal than I think they have been in previous seasons. Not that they're tested guys, but I just think they're better goaltenders with respect to Martin Jones and James Reimer. Number two, they are not afraid of Los Angeles. They played very well here in this regular season. They've always played well here. They aren't afraid of it, and they're really a road team. So the fact that they've got four games in L.A., really it's an issue for them. Joe Thornton's been an MVP candidate. He's on my ballot. He's had a fantastic year. Brent Burns is an X factor. If he dominates this series, if he outplays Drew Doughty, there's another pathway for them to win. So they're certainly not afraid of this team. With respect to Los Angeles, they have to defend better, Paulie. The reason they didn't win the division is, but down the stretch, they didn't play good defense, and they haven't played good defense against San Jose all year. They've given up 18 goals in five games. Three of those games, they gave up five goals. If they don't defend better against this team, they will get eliminated. The reason I like them is because I think this is going seven, and in game seven, I'm betting on Jonathan Quick. I always will. He's seen it too many times here in Los Angeles. I think it's a long series, a long grinding series. I just think the Kings find a way in a game seven backed by Jonathan Quick to emerge to the next round.
Yeah, you know what? Man, I've had the pleasure of talking to Bernie Nichols the last couple of seasons, and he always talks about the inside of that locker room, and there's a cockiness, there's a swagger there, a ton of experience. And if they get up, it's always going to be the pressure coming back on the Sharks. It won't be so much there for Pete DeBoer, but this team and this organization, man, they get down a game or two, it'll start getting psychological. I can't even speak, Dennis. I told you how rusty it was psychological for these guys. But it's definitely going to be an entertaining series. Let's jump over to Dallas and Minnesota. We'll save the champs there for last there. But Dallas and Minnie, love Lindy Ruff. You got to love what this team did. Just putting this team together, how they played. They've even dealt with the injuries and a couple of key pieces. Are the Dallas Stars for real here? You got to figure they'll take Minnesota pretty good here with a banged-up team and a coaching change as well. But your thoughts on this Stars team? Tons of talent, and you don't want to look past the Wild here too much. But I got to ask you, with the short time here before the series start, what do you think about this team going deeper beyond Minnesota?
I think they can go all the way. I really do. And my stock answer in a series that's overmatched like this, I say Dallas wins in three. So that's my running joke on that.
I love it.
Look, here's the deal. As good as Jamie Benn's been, and Tyler Seguin's been great, and he's coming back from his Achilles injury, the guy that's really, really been great for them is Jason Spezza. 32 goals from the second line. He's been dominant on the power play. That's the reason this team can go deep. They are not a one-line team here. They have a lot of veterans. I think the additions of Patrick Sharp and Johnny Oduya will go a long way come playoff time. The question with this team is their defense and goaltending. And I just think that the goaltending is good enough, because I think this is the one team that can score in the playoffs, that can score consistently, maybe 4 to 5 goals in a game, that they come at you. They have a lot of team speed. They have a lot of skill. And I think they get an easy round here in the first round, and they'll go on to play the winner of St. Louis and Chicago. I think this is the best way for Dallas to go into the playoffs. They're going to play an overmatched Minnesota team. I think it's a short series. I believe it's a sweep. So I think they're set up to win. Can they go two more rounds? I really think they can. They've got the right coach. He's a smart guy. He trusts his team. I just think there's so much talent on this team. I really think, Paulie, at this point, there's seven teams that can get to the Cup final. Minnesota can. Everybody else can. So I would, if Dallas wound up as the representative from the West, I would not be surprised. I think they're that good.
Yeah, man, you make some fantastic points there, especially Oduya and Sharpie coming in and their experience. And Lindy, like I said, just a great guy up there. And, man, Spezza, I mean, the goals he's been scoring too, man. Like, he's just a young rookie again. Just still great hands. And that's the leadership role there between Ben and a couple of these guys, Sagan dropping out and these guys stepping up. It's, Dennis, more than anything, it's in addition to the weapons, it's chemistry and guys stepping up and being able to take in some key points. And they got some great young kids on that team, too, who are balanced out and have benefited from playing along with these guys. So I'm with you there. And again, if they get a quick round here against Minnesota and they watch LA and the rest of these teams beat the crap out of each other, and that turns us over here to Chicago and St. Louis, man. Ken Hitchcock, he's like the guy on Survivor, man. He's out. He always gets that bad torch, man. But you know what? If this is it for him, I guess, and this St. Louis squad, you might as well take on the best team, the defending champs here. If you do get past these guys, you probably got a good chance to maybe get to the conference finals as well, too. And if you're going to do it, and this is what Ken Hitchcock has to do, he's got to win the Stanley Cup. There's nothing else for him. But, you know, the Blackhawks are the Blackhawks, no matter who's in that lineup, who's healthy, who's playing there. And they got all their guns here and their goaltend as well, too. Your take on, more than anything that you've seen differently this year in the St. Louis team, that they might be different from teams going into the playoffs in the past up against the Chicago Stanley Cup champion team?
Paulie, if St. Louis is ever going to win this, ever going to beat Chicago, it's this season. This is the round. This is the time for them. This is it. How do they do it? They've got to find a way. And Doug Armstrong, about a month ago, was on the St. Louis broadcast on Fox Sports Midwest talking about it. They have to find a way to win 3-2, 2-1 games. That's how they're going to play this series. That's how it's going to be. It's tight games. And that's the problem with St. Louis, Paulie. They never get blown out of games. They just can't find a way to win those games. They can't, you know, so that's what they have to do. They have to have Vladimir Tarasenko be the best player in the series. He's got to outplay Panarin. He's got to outplay Kane. He's got to play out Taves. He's got to score big goals. They've got to find a way to score big goals. Brian Elliott, who I think is going to start game one, or Jake Allen, has to be the best goaltender in the series. I think they can do it because I'm not convinced that Chicago is as good as they once were. I know that Patrick Kane is certainly the clear-cut MVP. I assume he's still going to be a virtuoso in this round, but I just the depth isn't what it once was. And I mentioned Oduya and Sharp not being there in the playoffs. I think that hurts them. And a guy like Trevor Van Riemsdyk's going to have to step up. They're going to miss Duncan Keith in game one, so that, you know, that's going to be put them behind the eight ball. So, you know, does Brent Seabrook rise up in his stead and play those 32 minutes in game one to try to win the game? I think they do. But I'm not convinced here that Chicago's going on to the next round. I just think that what they've got to do, Paulie, and again, a team that really didn't play well down the stretch, they've got to find the championship light switch to turn on and say, okay, now this is, you know, we need to get 16 wins. Let's go. Everybody man up. Host is back in the lineup, and just let's play championship caliber hockey. I really think St. Louis could. I mean, I'm picking St. Louis in seven. I know that, you know, if Chicago wins a final, I'll be laughed out. But I think this is the year and the time for St. Louis. I'm not sure they get to the final, Paulie, because I'm not sure they can get out of the conference because it's so brutal. But I think this is the year, getting them in the first round, that they can finally beat their nemesis here in the Chicago Blackhawks.
Well, they're going to have to, man. It's just really, you know, and you got to figure if you're St.
Louis. Yeah, this is good for them. You're right.
Yeah, I mean, they're just taking a deep breath, and every shift, every period is just going to be unbelievable. But this is what it's all about. Dennis, I want to get quick thoughts on the other side there real quick, since, you know, all the series are starting tomorrow night. What do you like on the East? Any particular matchup that stands out? And are you a guy that says, yeah, Caps will probably get there in the conference finals, or do you give any of these other teams an opportunity to get past those guys and represent somebody else from the Eastern Conference?
Yeah, quickly, I think there's three teams in play here. I think Florida, I think Washington, and I think in Pittsburgh. I think the other five teams don't have a shot. You know, Halak's not going to play for the Islanders. I don't like the Rangers' defense. Tampa and Detroit, neither one of those teams are legit. I think the winner of that series is going to lose to Florida. I think Florida beats the Islanders. So, Washington, I'm not ready to anoint Washington as the Cup finalist out of the East. I think Pittsburgh can get them, and they're going to have a tough series against Philadelphia. I think that's a six-game series against Philly, and that's going to be a grinding series. So I love their depth. They don't have that superstar defenseman. You know, Carlson's really good. And I think there's a way to beat Braden Holtby in the playoffs. I think there's a book on him. So I don't think it's in the first round, but I'm not ready to anoint that. So I look at the Caps, I look at the Panthers, and I look at the my choice right now is the Penguins coming out. But I think those three teams are legit. I think the other five don't have the juice to go at least three rounds.
Yeah, no doubt about it. So it's going to be exciting stuff. And, Dennis, man, I can't thank you enough for doing this. So real quick before I let you go, I got a copy of your NHL bracket. Who are your final two teams, baby?
I've got the Ducks in Pittsburgh, and I got the Ducks winning.
All right, man. I like it. Dennis, you're the best, man. We'll definitely do this more as the series goes on. And thank you so much, man. Have a great night tonight, and enjoy the games as they get started here.
Always happy to talk to you, Paulie. Anytime you need me, happy to do it.
You got it. Dennis Bernstein, ladies and gentlemen, from the fourth period, giving us some time here running around the Western Conference, which is not easy to do, but Dennis is one of the best. Love having him on here, and we will definitely have Dennis back as the series progress right here at HCW Radio on the Hockey This Week Radio Network. All right, we're going to take one more quick break. When I come back, I'll give you my two cents on who's going to come out on top here for the playoffs. We'll go through each playoffs. I'll give you my winner. I'm not going to give you games. I'm just going to pick winners, and then we'll bid you adieu. But we'll be right back. You're listening to the Hockey This Week Radio Network. This is The Red Line. I'm Paul Cuthbert. We'll be right back after the last break.
Thank you for tuning in to the Hockey This Week Radio Network. Always live and archived at htwradio.com and podcast on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, and TuneIn Radio applications. For featured interview clips, visit soundcloud.com/Hockey This Week. Follow us on Twitter at HTW Radio and at Hockey This Week. Join the HTW community at facebook.com/Hockey This Week. And finally, if reading is your thing, go to htwmag.com for featured Hockey This Week columns. The Hockey This Week Radio Network. The game is always on.
Introducing Integral Hockey, the world's best hockey stick repair system featuring patent-pending state-of-the-art technology. Integral Hockey has made it possible to repair today's carbon fiber hockey sticks and bring them back to life without compromising performance for a fraction of the cost of a new stick. Integral Hockey is an amazing service for parents who find themselves buying their kids new sticks each season and adult recreation players who break their favorite stick. All Integral Hockey repairs come with a lifetime warranty. Visit IntegralHockeyTHS.com.
The Hockey This Week Multimedia Network is powered by Hockey Active LLC in Long Island, New York. Hockey Active is always looking for good people to join us as we expand our audience reach and network services. If you have digital, video, social media, and sales skills, go to HockeyActive.com today. Call or send us an email and see how you can get involved with an exciting new company covering the coolest game on earth. Once again, that's HockeyActive.com.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Red Line right here on the Hockey This Week Radio Network. HCW2.com today. I want to thank everybody for tuning in live and for everybody listening later on the archives and in iTunes and everywhere else. Thank you so much for your support here, as always, on the Hockey This Week Radio Network. Again, tonight, the HCW NHL Playoffs preview shows continue with Hockey Night in New York. Tony and Sean have been holding down the fort here at HCW here all season long. They got a great show lined up for you tonight as they'll be talking to Steve Mears from NHL Network. Everybody knows him from NHL Live. And go to NHL.com, too, and it's also on the homepage of HCW Mag. Mears did a great piece on Ed Snyder passing away in terms of his impact on the league and obviously hockey in Philadelphia. And they'll also have George Richards, a great columnist, covers the Florida Panthers for the Miami Herald. He'll be on this evening as well. And Andy Graziano, another SNY guy covering the Islanders, will also be on. That's 9:30 tonight over on ACWRadio.com. Follow Hockey Night NY on the Twitter. And that's a great show. So that's tonight at 9:30. And I'll be back here on Thursday. I'm going to Pete Weber, Mike Hyka, possibly Phil Bork after the first game here between the Pens and the Rangers. And the next week we'll fire things up again as we'll continue our coverage here as the first round of the NHL playoffs continue. So real quick, I'm just going to throw all my picks. I'm not going to give you the games. I'm just giving you the picks, and I'll tell you who I think is going to get in the Stanley Cup Finals, and we'll go from there. All right? So Isles Cats. I'm taking the Cats. I just think Luongo and Yags and the rest of that crew is just going to find a way against a still very young team. I know there's some young guys over there in Florida, but, you know, granted, these guys got to stay healthy. I mean, the Islanders are just going to really have to. You just got to go for it, man. Muck it up. Be smart. Stay out of the box. But let these guys know you mean business. And Mike Carver brought up a great point today. It'll be very interesting to see how the Islanders fan base rocks the Barclays Center. I'm confident they'll do a good job. There's no excuse. Mike, you said it too. But that's going to be big here. The fans got to get back behind the Islanders, back behind them. Got to get behind them and just make Barclays shake, man. And I think they can give them a good run. But I think on paper, you know, and I've said this too. I love John Tavares, JT, but, you know, he's going to need help from everybody. So I'll take the Cats to win this. But I think the Isles will give them a good go. And if they prove me wrong, hell yeah, that's awesome. Do it, baby. Rangers, Pens. I got to go with the Penguins here. I just think Sid's on another level right now. The whole team is playing great. Mike Sullivan's system has been phenomenal. I think Fleury's been playing. He's had a great year, obviously, the injury stuff. I just don't think that's going to be a big deal as far as the goaltending because I think the Pens are just going to pour it on the Rangers. They got a lot of offensive weapons. I think in the end, the Pens will come out on top of the Strangers. But they've proven us wrong in the past, but I'm going with the Pens. All right? Hope they give them a go. Fired up there in New York there, Rangers. Let's go. Caps and Flyers. I'm going with the Flyers, and this is why. Emotions. Got nothing to lose. Maybe the emotions of Ed Snyder passing away, but this team has played. They played really well, and they played with a lot of passion. If they can split a game in Washington, put the pressure on Barry Trotz and this squad, and bring it back to Philly, well, they'll go ballistic. and put a little pressure on. They got nothing to lose. Philly is playing with house money. The Caps, I think, have a ton of pressure on them. Playoff failures in the past. Alex Ovechkin, he can score as many goals as he wants during regular seasons. You can win your trophies, your President's Trophy, all that other stuff. As far as the Capitals are concerned, as an organization, it's Stanley Cup or bust. And the Flyers got nothing to lose. They'll play loose goose. They can't play too loose because the Capitals will destroy them if they do. But I think the Flyers, what the hell? If I'm out, I'm right on the other side. Hey, you know, buy me a chocolate donut. I picked the right one. So what the heck? I'm going with the Flyers. Emotional ride here and give the Caps a good run. Bolts and Wings. I'm going to take the Wings here. Stamkos being out is huge. I love John Cooper and the rest of the squad. But I think, look at Detroit now. Tons of talent on that team. And with Datsyuk talking about maybe leaving here and Zetterberg, you got a ton of talent. I think the Wings somehow, I know they've been stinking up the joint. They backed into the playoffs, but I think they find a way. I don't think Tampa Bay is the powerhouse that they've been in the past. And again, missing a guy like Stamkos and Stroman too, I think this is a good chance here for the Wings to come out and beat the Bolts here in the first round. And finally, for the conference, I think the Pens will eventually get out of it and they will represent the East in the Stanley Cup Finals. Long way to go, but what the hell, we're just doing some predictions here. On the other side, Ducks and Preds. I know we're just talking about the Ducks and how great they are and everything else, but hey, look, man, I'd be a hypocrite if I didn't pick the Preds, right? I said they're going to win the Stanley Cup. I got to pick them in the first round at least. I think they'll give them a good run. It should be a great series. Nothing to lose here. Probably out of my mind, but hey, Preds, go for it. See what happens. I'll take the Preds over the Ducks. Hawks and Blues. This is it. I think he'll go out there. He'll tackle everybody in the Hawks, whatever he has to do. St. Louis knows they have to win this series. They'll do whatever they can. And I think maybe like Dennis said, maybe this is the year the Hawks, entire team, a lot of playoff runs. I know they're young, but, maybe the Blues can do it this year. So I'll take the Blues in the first round. What the hell? Who cares? Sharkies and the Kings. I'm going to take the Sharkies. I love Pete DeBoer. The Sharkies got to do this. I know they've been up 3-0 on the Kings in the past. They're going to have to do it again, and they're going to have to get that fourth win and just do it. So let's go, Sharkies. Let's go, Pete DeBoer. I love having Pete DeBoer. I like having new teams in the finals, in the conference finals, in the second and third round. So let's mix it up there a little bit. And then at the end, Stars in the Wild. I agree with Dennis. I thought it was great what he said. They'll win in three. Stars, if they lose this series or if it's a long, man, that would be crazy. But, again, injuries, goaltending is a key issue here. Stars beat the Wild, and I'm going to take the Stars. I know, Nashville. I know you said you're going to win the Stanley Cup. But I just think I've become a huge fan of the Stars here as the season progresses. So I'm jumping off the bandwagon. I think the Stars are going to play the Pens in the Stanley Cup Finals. And I think Lindy Ruff eventually gets to hoist that Stanley Cup over his head. There you go, folks. Stars, Pens, Finals. Okay? And maybe I'll change my mind next week after a few games. Am I allowed to do that? I have no check mark on my Twitter account. I'm no expert here. We're having a little fun, right? So there you go. Anyway, everybody else, fill out your NHL.com brackets. This is a fun time of the year for everybody in playoffs. Congratulations to all the teams getting in. Everybody getting pumped. This is it, man. Every game is going to be insane. It all starts tomorrow night. Three games on the schedule tomorrow, and we just fire it up. And there's hockey every night going back and forth different times. I like the way the NHL is stacked. The time starts, whether it's 7:30, 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock, 9:30. So, when one game's in, you're going to get the end of another one, and then you're going to get the end of another one. It's all good stuff. Definitely interested in seeing what happens in Brooklyn with the Islander fans. Man, Florida, all the Islanders, somebody's getting to the second round for the first time in a hell of a long time. Should be good stuff. So, look, we'll be back here on Thursday after the first couple of games are played tomorrow night, and then we'll look at the first games on Thursday night. We'll obviously talk about things firing up here on Wednesday, and then, like I said, we got the Ducks and the Preds starting on Friday, and we fire it up, and we go. So, big thanks to Mr. Mike Carver, Mr. Michael Spinner, and Mr. Dennis Bernstein for joining me here this afternoon. We appreciate it, and thank you so much, everybody out there, for supporting the Hockey This Week Radio Network. And don't forget, tonight, Hockey Night New York, with my brother Sean and Mr. Tony Stabile. Big Nickelback fan, folks, but don't hold it against them. But they'll be on at 9:30 tonight, Eastern Standard Time, at htwradio.com. And keep it here. We'll probably be back here on Thursday afternoon with back on HCW Radio. Just follow the Twitter at HCW Redline Hockey This Week. We got 1,000 accounts. We'll put it out there. You won't have any trouble finding where the show is going to be on Thursday. But thanks so much for tuning in. It's been a pleasure to speak and talk hockey again with the guys and just to get into it. Hey, man, like I said, it's Christmas Eve. Christmas here for hockey fans. As we roll on, the nice weather's coming back. And in a couple months here, we'll, whoever's left standing is going to get the Stanley Cup, and we'll see what happens if somebody can take it away from the great city of Chicago. All right, everybody, thanks so much for hanging out with me. Appreciate it. And make sure you follow at Hockey This Week, at HCW Meg, at HCW Redline, at HCW Radio. Hit us up on Facebook. Stay in touch, all right? Be good, everybody. Take care.